Hi, welcome to episode 90 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm getting ready to leave for London. I'm so excited. Our trip is finally here. But before we go, I want to let you guys know my guest this week is Jill Simonian. She is an author. She is a parenting lifestyle expert. And more importantly, she is my friend. Aww. And she's going to talk to us today about her brand new book. Can't wait for you guys to check that out. So before we begin, I want to tell you more about Up4 Probiotics. So here's the deal, you guys. I am not the picture of health. People don't look at me and go, gosh, I want to look like Heather Brooker. And that's okay. But I do put an emphasis on health, especially when it comes to creating a healthy inside. And that's exactly what Up4 Probiotics does. If you've ever wanted to improve your gut health, your digestive system, your immune system, then you definitely want to check out Up4. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 Probiotics image, and that will take you to their website where you can find out more all about the Up4 Probiotics products. Up4 Probiotics, helping you create a happier inside since 1979.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather!
Hi, friends. Welcome to episode 90 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm so excited today. My friend Jill Simonian is on the show, and she's going to be talking about her new book, The Fab Mom's Guide, How to Get Over the Bump and Bounce Back Fast After Baby. And we're going to talk about a little misconception about what bouncing back really is. Some of you who have just given birth or maybe about to give birth, you want to pay close attention to this episode because sometimes bouncing back isn't always what we see with our celebrity moms on TV and in films and stuff like that. There's different levels to bouncing back, and Jill's going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I just want to say hi. Hi, friends. How are you? I'm excited because we're leaving in a couple of days to go to London. And I'm not excited on one hand because I still have this horrible bug, this coughing, whatever. I went to the doctor this week because I was like, I will not be sick in London. And he seemed to think it's just allergies. A change in the weather out here. It finally stopped raining. The winds are picking up and the sun is out again. So that means anybody with allergies. But I've never had allergies before. So I don't know if that's what it is or just a cold. Either way, it sucks balls. And I don't want to be sick on the plane. So I'm like freebasing vitamin C and taking Sudafed and everything I can think of to try to get better before we go. But regardless, I'm very excited. I think Channing's getting excited too because we've got our luggage out. We've got some American Tourister bags. They have the cutest bag that has like a Minnie Mouse on it. And it looks like it's autographed by Minnie Mouse, and she is obsessed with it. She keeps trying to get in it, and I'm like, no, you can't travel like that. You have to sit in the plane with mommy and daddy. But anyway, so we're gonna start packing probably in the next probably tomorrow because we leave very soon. And I'm overwhelmed by the amount of things there are to do. It's like you're going to, you know, a city with so much history and so many landmarks and things to do. And, you know, and that's just within the city of London. Like, we could spend a couple of weeks just in London alone, not to even mention like all of the things there are to do outside of London and in the UK and in Scotland and Ireland. And, you know, I'd love to hop over to Paris for the day. And, you know, it's just, I told Chris, I said, it's just so overwhelming. We have to plan another trip to come back as soon as we are not hashtag poverty. But anyway, regardless, I'm excited. We're going to visit the Tower of London next Thursday. I'm going to be doing my Facebook Live. If you guys follow me on Facebook, I'm going to do my Facebook Live and giveaway from the Tower of London. That's what I'm hoping anyway. That's the day we're planning to go to the Tower of London. So I thought, what a cool day to do that. If you don't follow me on Facebook, WTF, do it now. Motherhood in Hollywood is the name to search. Also on Instagram, I'm going to be doing a ton of Insta stories. I'll be posting a lot of fun pictures of our adventures over there. If you want to see me bragging about all of the things we're doing and you're not, take a minute and follow me on Instagram and Facebook, as well as on Twitter at Heather Brooker or MIH Podcast. And yeah, that's about it, you guys. I'm going to go. I'm going to keep the mommy monologue short this week. Oh, I want to do a couple mentions really quick on Twitter to new followers. Hi, at Comedy Flow. Thanks for following me. Edgy Headshots by Ken W. And Ovi from Nugget. Thank you so much for following me at MIH Podcast. And also, Heather Brooker. Hey, Entertainment Tonight. Thanks for following me. I am a big deal. Appreciate you. Also want to say hello to Helen B. Greener, HB Greener. Thanks for following me. And Felicia Gates and Jordan Brady. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to follow me on Twitter and keep interacting with me, you guys. I appreciate it. I'm so glad to know you're out there and you're enjoying my show because I'm enjoying bringing it to you. Oh, we just had a moment. All right, I'm gonna jump off here and start cleaning my house and packing to get ready to go to London Town. All right, here's my interview with author and parenting lifestyle expert, Jill Simonian. So you guys, this is quite a treat for me because I have one of my great friends here on the show today. Jill Simonian is here. Hi.
Woo woo.
Hi.
Is that dorky?
Really excited.
Is that dorky to go no. Woo woo? I'm so excited.
I feel that way about my podcast too. So
I do.
And you're here today for multiple reasons. One, just because I wanted to make sure we had some scheduled time to chat and catch up because I feel like every time I see you out and about, we're running around doing stuff at events or kids' birthday parties or whatever.
Hi, can you take a picture of me? Okay, great, yeah. Thanks. Okay, thanks. Post it, tag me.
Yeah. I'm going to hold up this, like, baby diapers as opposed to adult diapers, sorry. But I definitely, the main reason why you're here today is to talk about your new book.
Yes.
And I'm going to read this title. Ready?
Get ready.
The Fab Mom's Guide, How to Get Over the Bump and Bounce Back Fast After Baby.
That was so good.
Right?
Yes. Thank you.
This
said by a professional.
Said by a real pro who had to read it word for word.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk about this book because I don't know if you remember, you were on my show a year and a half ago. One of my first guests, actually, like within the first few months of me doing my podcast. And you talked about the book in its very like infancy stages. And you mm-hmm. were so nervous because you were afraid that you had talked about it too much and that, you know, you maybe were like spreading the word and like
yes.
prematurely. And now
and I
it's
was.
Here. And you did. But now it's here and you've written it. Like, how exciting for you.
Thank you. I am super excited. And I totally remember that. And I feel like it was yesterday being here with the same microphones and mm-hmm. looking at you. And we didn't really know each other that well back
right,
then.
Right, right.
But I remember at the end of that particular podcast, I did say, oh, and I'm in the, I think I was still pitching the
proposal.
I think
proposal, you were pitching it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten a couple, like, I call them light frivolous bites from publishers that were, hey, we're interested,
kind of interested.
But nothing had really like right. come to fruition or there wasn't an offer. And I had said something to you and then I thought, yeah, if you say it out loud, that means it'll happen. And then I went home and I thought, what did I just do? And I remember I emailed
yeah,
you and I said, I don't know if we should include that. What did I say? And you said,
it's totally fine. You didn't give away. I think people think that they maybe reveal more than they really do. I'm
yes.
not Oprah. I'm not.
But you are Oprah.
I'm Barbara Walters. No, like it really wasn't that bad. It was actually a lovely little tease
yes.
to like the future. And you know what? And you did say it out loud. And then it happened.
And then it happened.
I
not
feel like
too
I should
after.
Take credit for.
I know.
May, for all I, of it. For this happening.
Should I send you residual checks
Please
in the mail?
Please do. That would be amazing.
You know those residual checks that you get, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. that are sometimes like 5 cents? And you're like, why did they cut a check for this? It might be comparable to that.
Yes.
It might be 10 cents, Heather.
I got one for 7 cents the other day for a show I did years ago, Monk.
Yeah.
I got one for 7 cents the other day. And I was like, woohoo. I still deposited it because 7 cents is 7 cents. That's a lot of money.
Of course it is.
Anyway. Well, I am very excited. I remember when you were writing it, you were like not returning texts or mm-hmm. calls. You were knee deep in your book, which is incredible to me because I can barely write a blog post. Like,
well,
it takes me days.
That's you and me both. And I'll tell you something. I ended up getting the, I feel so like Hollywoody weird saying like the publishing deal, you know.
Don't
but
you dare.
But
there's
I do.
So
I feel Hollywood
people.
Weird,
yeah.
But this is motherhood in Hollywood. So hey,
you
we're
go.
Gonna do it.
Right.
I got the publishing deal the same within, I think it was a week or two after I started working at my TV job that I've had for the past year now at the local CBS television.
And we should talk about that too. That's another thing that's changed in your world. Yeah.
But I got that, and then the contract said, okay, you have, I think it was at that time, 5 months to write this book. And I panicked because when you start a brand new job, your focus is to do the brand new job. And then I had to write this book that was going to be very important and permanent.
Right.
And that I didn't want to jack up in any way.
Right.
So I wrote it in about 6 months, and it's interesting because the book, you know, it says how to get over the bump and bounce back fast after baby. The first thing everyone thinks about is you think, oh, it's, you know, getting your body back after baby. And the book is so not about that. There's
so
little
it's not
bits
about,
and pieces about
it's
body,
not just about fitness because I initially thought that too, but then I looked at it a little bit the other night when we were at the biggest baby shower or whatever, and I can see that it's not just about your physical bouncing back.
It's not.
Right.
There's little parts and bits about exercising during pregnancy and why it's great. And it's not, you know, not only for the, you know, vanity purpose of it or whatever, but for the health purpose. And but the majority of the book is about getting over that symbolic bump of first time motherhood where you're a mom for the first time. What the heck is happening? You have all these different lifestyle changes where you're maybe trying to reconcile who you were, who you are, what to do with this baby, why you can't get it to stop crying. All of those day-to-day mental and emotional challenges. This book, I share stories that address that and hopefully motivate women to think about different things in different ways during that hard first year that will help get them through.
Now tell me, we talked about this a little before. You were an entertainment red carpet host, reporter for many years, and then became a mom suddenly.
Yeah.
And things changed for you. Was that essentially the inspiration for you writing this? Was trying to figure out, okay, this is what I did before. What can I do now?
Yes. So I tell the story in the book about how I dropped all these horrible F-bombs when I told my husband that we were going to have a baby for the first time. And I was such an idiot. Like, I know now that I was a total idiot. I just was too dumb to see it at the time.
Sure.
But I was so scared to become a mom because I had heard so, and we all have, you know, before you have a baby, you hear all these stories from friends. You're never going to be the same.
Never going to be
the
same.
Your life will never be the same. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Forget about doing XYZ.
You'll never go out again. You'll never go to the movies again and all that.
And even with career stuff, like, you know, you're an actor. I was a host. Like, it's like you think, wait a second, was that my career? And like, now it's not anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like you work so hard to
do that. It's a real mind F, especially in this industry, because, and this is also something I talk a lot about on Motherhood in Hollywood, because you can still have a life and a career in this business after you have children.
Right.
Lots of people do it. And there's such a big stigma for women to not have kids. Men don't have to deal with that at all. Men are never like, oh, no one ever tells a guy, oh, you'll never work again, Chris Pratt, because you have a boy, like you have a baby. Like, how ridiculous.
Yeah.
But for some reason, women think, I can't start my family, or they drop a bunch of F-bombs thinking, what am I going to do?
In a panic.
What am I going to do? And what did you find?
So I figured my big plan at that time, and this baby that I'm talking about, oh my gosh, I love her, love her, love her.
She's
6 and a half now, the older one, because this was the first time that I talk about the first time becoming pregnant in this book. But I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is my big plan. I am just going to, like, within 3 months, I'm going to bounce back. And I am going to, like, get out there, and I'm going to audition again, and people are going to say, oh my gosh, no way did you just have a baby. Like, I had all these deluded,
because, like, isn't that also what you see, though, when you see, like, Us Magazine and People Magazine and all of these big media outlets who are like, look at, you know, Chrissy Teigen, she just had a baby 9 weeks ago and is already out on a date night with her husband.
Right, right.
Or whatever. Or I think it was like 2 weeks that she went out.
It was like two weeks after.
And she looks amazing.
Yeah.
That is not realistic.
That's not real. And
yeah.
I love the way you say Chrissy Teigen. I talk about her in the book too. But I think that she's one of the ones that keeps it very frank online.
Yeah,
and just sort of says, all right, here's the real deal. And she has been the first one to say, okay, first of all, that was airbrushed. That's not how I look.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my real stretch marks on my inner thighs. Like
that's
right. So she keeps it real. But I think slowly with celebrities like her, we are now becoming, I don't want to use the word educated, mm-hmm. but we're becoming
enlightened
mm-hmm. that what we see as mm-hmm. like first time Hollywood brand new moms is not real. And it is airbrushed, and it's, you know, certain things are written online and it, you know, so that we click on it.
Yeah, sure.
So
look how amazing so-and-so looks just on the red carpet. Like I distinctly remember one example in Heidi Klum. Heidi Klum has had like four kids, maybe three or four kids.
She's four.
Yeah. She's gorgeous. No matter. I mean, like just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But I remember, after one of her kids, she was then back on the runway for a Victoria's Secret show.
Yes.
And everyone's like, look at this. She just had a baby a few months ago. And I was like, oh my God, that's insane.
Yes.
But what they don't tell you is about all of the other things happening, that she has a nanny. She has a personal chef. Mm-hmm. She probably works out 5 hours, 5 hours a day and that sort of thing.
It is her job. And
it
she
is
makes
her job.
A gazillion dollars. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I point out, it especially in the book, is we seem to, okay, never mind that, okay, she just had the baby, then she was back on the runway a few months later. But we seem to conveniently forget that what she looked like before baby. She was like that before baby.
Yes.
And one of the my biggest things that I talk about, and you know, again, the book is not a body fitness look your hottest book. But there is a section in there that, you know, I'm very upfront and honest when I say returning to how you were, your body, whether you were 100 pounds or 200 pounds before pregnancy, it is absolutely possible to return to your own body months after baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, I'm not saying 2 months, 3 months, but, you know, it is possible. So Heidi Klum looked that way before. I mean,
she
that's
did.
Just her.
She
it's,
did.
It's her body.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever your body is, it's absolutely doable. But when we see her looking like that, automatically we think, oh my gosh, I'll never look like that. Uh-huh. Well, hello, we never looked like that before.
Right, exactly. It's about, I think it's about having realistic expectations.
Yes.
And mentally and physically. And I think that you have, of all of my friends, you have such a good handle on that.
Thanks.
And like on being realistic, you're so very grounded.
Thank you.
And
my husband says I'm negative sometimes.
Oh, well, he's not here.
I call it grounded. Yeah,
but grounded.
Anyway.
No, you're very realistic. And I think that's why I like you so much, is you're very realistic and you're very self-aware. There's a lack of that, a lot of that in LA especially. And I know we've been talking a lot about like Hollywood moms and celebrities and stuff like that, but I really feel like your book addresses and is good for anybody. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to be in Hollywood to be able to relate to wanting to bounce back after having your baby.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I think, I think that, you know, whether you're in the business sector or whether you, you know, whatever you might do for your career,
mm-hmm.
it's still a mind F whenever you have a kid, because you're like constantly responsible for another human's life. And it is exhausting. It's stressful. It's all of those things. So,
well, it's trying to also, even if you're a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
I think that stay-at-home moms are equally challenged in different ways.
Yeah.
Because you suddenly find yourself with this new set of priorities,
mm-hmm.
and you're at home and you're in this bubble and you feel like your social life is very different and your day to day is different. And I think especially so, like my big plan before was, oh, I'm going to bounce back so I can get back to working. Well, it didn't work out. I could not find another job at the end of my pregnancy, the first year of motherhood.
Did you blame your pregnancy at all? Did you feel guilt a little bit?
No, I don't think I felt guilt. I think it was just a circumstance of, at the time, I just couldn't find another job.
All right, we're going to get back to the interview with Jill in just a minute, but I want to talk to you guys quickly about Up4 Probiotics. If you've ever been curious about trying a probiotic, or maybe you're an avid probiotic user, check out Up4. They have a variety of formulas, everything from senior citizens to women's formula and adult. They also have a heart health formula and a kids formula. Channing uses the Kids Cube, and they've made such a difference in her digestive health. Probiotics are healthy gut bacteria. They support your digestive system, your immune system. There's even special formulations for your heart. And who doesn't want a little extra healthy heart? Huh? Right here. Go right now, you guys, to motherhoodinhollywood.com so you can click on the Up4 Probiotics image. That will take you to their website and you can find out more about Up4's products and how getting healthy gut bacteria can help you create a happier inside.
And so that, like, for me, I realized, okay, if I am going to be staying at home, which I had not done ever in my life before, I needed to create this little lifestyle system for myself where mm-hmm. every day I had a few goals to accomplish mm-hmm. with the baby in the house. And when I say goals, I mean like making sure my bed was fixed before my husband came home.
Like I do that too. Okay. Do you do that?
Yes, I did that. And that, what? I'm telling you, I mean, you've heard the magic of bed making. What it does for your day.
All I know is what I do, and I've always said this for, and I think I probably heard it from my mom. My mantra is, even if I accomplish nothing else in the day, at least I've made my bed.
Yes.
And at least it's ready for me to come back to it.
Yes.
I know that sounds so nerdy, but
no, it's not. But for me, that was the start mm-hmm. of feeling happier and more fulfilled.
Yeah.
Being at home with this lifestyle change and confusion of being a brand new mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about it in one of the chapters. I can't remember. It was like one of my sections is called Fast Fixes for Feeling Accomplished. I don't even know.
I love your alliterations.
But there is, there was a very, very, very famous speech about the effects of making your bed and how it will uplift your day no matter what.
I totally agree with
that. And it applies to new motherhood.
It really does. It sounds like it's something like, what? Why would I do that? Why would, sometimes mm-hmm. you can't even like get up off the couch or, why would I make my bed? But there is something very cathartic about it. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I made my bed. Now it's ready for me when I get in bed. And everything in your, when my bed isn't made, then my bedroom feels like a mess. And then it just sort of compiles onto everything mm-hmm. else. Everything sort of feels chaotic. And I'm like, if I've done nothing else today, at least I've made my bed.
Yes.
I know that sound. People are going to be like, hello, OCD.
No, I know. Please.
I'm really not. I just
try
feel like
it.
It's, yeah.
Try it for a week. We challenge you.
So what are some of your favorite tips then? Just a couple off the top of your head in your book that people will go, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Like if you're talking to new moms, they've already had their baby.
Okay. So the first thing is make your bed.
Make your bed.
Make your bed. The second thing is something that I am a little nervous to have all sorts of friends and colleagues and the motherhood community come after me for, but
uh-oh.
I stand behind it.
Uh-oh.
Listen up.
Shave
listen
your legs.
Up.
No.
Listen up.
What is it?
If you do not genuinely want to breastfeed, if you are trying to breastfeed and it is not working, if you are breastfeeding and your baby is miserable and you are miserable and it is a horrible ordeal every single day, just stop.
Yay!
Honestly, I totally agree with the milk factory. If that's what you need to do to make your baby
survive
and yourself happier and more content.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Formula is not poisonous.
No.
And breast milk is best.
Yes.
I say that in the book. I say that day. It's, you cannot compare it to anything. But if it is something that is bringing everything down.
Mm-hmm. Your experience.
Why? Why do that to yourself?
I think here in LA, more so than other parts of the country, and maybe in New York as well, there is a shame associated with not being able to breastfeed. And so women here put themselves under a tremendous amount of pressure to do that. I don't understand it either. I know it was very encouraged in my mommy and me class or whatever, but yeah. I struggled with it a lot for months. And I remember very teary-eyed breakdowns on the couch and my husband just going, just stop, just give her a bottle. And we did. We ended up supplementing with formula because I didn't want my baby to starve.
Yeah.
And I still wanted to breastfeed. So we did both until eventually when she was about 2.5 months old, we got it. We had a rhythm. We were good to go. It wasn't as painful. And I was like, okay. And ultimately her mouth needed to grow into, you know, like her mouth is small. Your nipple is, you know, my nipples are not huge.
I realized I was about to say, my nipples are giant.
I realized what that was about to sound like. But like they're in, the anatomy needed to line up. Yeah. Like she needed to figure it out. I need to figure it out. So, but in the meantime, I wasn't going to let her starve. Like I wanted to feed
you can't.
Her. It's so much pressure. So much pressure.
It is. And there are a lot of resources. Yeah. And I mean, more and more, there are, I mean, you know, do you know how many people we run into at these motherhood and pregnancy events? Our good friends are huge nursing advocates, and they're doulas and they're midwives, and they're these wonderful people who really do have great tricks to help new mothers. But my big thing is, okay, if you've tried the tricks, if you really want to do something, do it. If you've tried the experts, if you've gotten the help, if you've, you know, educated yourself, oh, maybe I should try it this way, and those five new ways that you're trying are still not working, don't beat yourself up and don't torture yourself.
Yes. Let it go. Yeah. Like Elsa says, let it go. And it's, you are not a bad mom.
No.
You have not failed in any way. No. That's my big thing is like, I have, you know, mom friends who are like, they won't leave the house because they can only breastfeed and their baby will, you know, only take a nipple and la, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, it's okay. Like you can give her a bottle. And so I appreciate you saying that. So make your bed. Don't stress about breastfeeding and, or bottle feeding. And then what else should we know?
What else? What else should we do?
For new moms.
You got, here's what, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of the most fun one in the book and I'm going through each chapter. You know what you need to do for new mom? What was the question again? Biggest to do's?
Like a couple like tips for new moms.
So stock up your entire house with all the supplies you would need to not leave for 30 days. That seems crazy, but I'm talking frozen foods.
Yes.
I'm talking paper towels, toilet paper.
Yes.
All of the things that you just need, you know, your makeup. Make sure before the baby comes, stock everything, the non-perishables, pasta, rice, everything, you know. Make sure that you are stocked for 30 days because even if you do want to leave the house, like after a week or 2 weeks or whatever, you know that you won't have the pressure to have to do it.
Yes.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. You might have a baby that's really, really colicky. You might have a husband that is not a big fan of going to the grocery store and cooking like mine was.
Right.
And therefore, all the meals and responsibility for what everyone's going to eat is on you. Mm-hmm. And as the new mother, you don't want that on you. Like,
yeah,
what's for dinner, you know. But make sure that you get yourself like stocked.
You could also look into like meal delivery services.
Yes.
Like I know we're both good friends with Catherine McCord who has the One Potato Box. I wish I had known about that or it existed. I don't think it existed when Chan was born.
It didn't. It's brand new.
Yeah, it's new. But like something like that. My friends were gracious enough to bring us food, which was really nice. And Amazon Prime wasn't really a thing then either. Like it is now.
Now it's easy.
So now I'm like, I totally agree with that because you're not really going to want to leave. You're not going to feel up for it. Like there are some women who just, you know, give birth and bounce right out the door and everything's great and good for them. But I was not one of those. I remember it took me a couple weeks to leave the house and
It took me 30
terrified.
Days.
I was like,
after the first baby, it took me 30 days to take her like on a stroller ride. We went to the doctor's appointments and everything, but the stroller
to, like,
ride
go out and
about 30 days.
How is it different with number two?
Number two, you're like, oh yeah, been there, done that, piece of cake. I left the house, I think after two weeks I went to an event in, at a store after my second daughter was born. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the second baby, it's the second baby, you have everything down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I've seen that with the moms who are like, number two, we got
whatever.
This. Well, I want to talk also, too, about what you're doing on CBS.
Oh, sure.
Because I know you were like, oh, I can't find a job, you know, whatever. And now you have this amazing segments that you do for the local CBS station here in Los Angeles. If you guys haven't seen them, you can go to Jill's Facebook page. Excuse me, guys. Jill's Facebook page, and also the CBS Facebook page, right?
Right.
There's a couple.
Yes, the segments are on the news on TV every Wednesday night and then every Friday morning. But we also, the station live streams. So anyone around the country can watch.
Can watch it on the interweb.
Yes, on the interweb. But then we also started doing these Facebook chats, which you were on one time.
I was.
We were talking about entitled kids. And
that was so much fun. I got a lot of messages about that too. People were like, yes, I love this. So,
it was fun. Yeah. But it's all the talks are addressing parenting trends, hot topics, issues that parents of all different stages are maybe going through. Today we're going to be talking about what to do and what not to do, how, you know, as a parent, if you're waiting for admissions letters from schools and if you get a wait list or if you get a negative admission letter or rejection letter, how to really
how to act
in a way that is not going to screw your kids up.
Don't
by getting that rejection letter.
Don't firebomb the school.
Exactly. So it's like discussions like that.
Yeah.
And we offer tips. No, see, now I'm clearing my throat.
Oh, no, sorry. It's
your
contagious.
Allergies are coming to me.
It's contagious. I have the Claritin if you need it. I have the Claritin.
But we address all sorts of family lifestyle topics and hopefully offer solutions and quick tips to give people a little bit of guidance here and there.
Now, have you found, like I have after becoming a mom, that your goals and your strengths and some of the things that you want to do are different now, are changed a little bit than from what they were before, career or otherwise?
Yes. Certain things that I was obsessed with before kids, I now think are so stupid.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't want to have anything to do with them. That's not to say I don't enjoy them, but I enjoy them in a way where I can watch like certain television shows. And I mean, I still love my Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Hello.
Oh, my God.
But certain shows and certain things that I used to say, oh, my gosh, I'm obsessed with it. Now I look at it and I say, yeah, that's really not making a difference in a positive way. And you look at different things like, okay, you know, what does this say to my daughter? What does this say if my girls see those girls acting like that?
Right.
You
right.
know?
Yeah. So you don't watch the Kardashians anymore. Is that what you're
you
saying?
You know, I don't. This is hard for me to say. I used to watch them. I have the
me too.
The quintessential love-hate relationship with what they do and how they are.
I'm like, I mean, they're horrible.
And they're like, they're fabulous. Yeah, yes. Like all these things. But now I have not watched the past few years because I just sort of think,
they're not great role models for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you're into like, you know, that
it's
sort of
different.
Very privileged lifestyle. I don't watch them anymore just because we've recently cut the cord and kind of gone off the off the grid. I almost said off the rails. We got off the grid a little bit and we just have internet now and Netflix and all that. So we kind of cut with our cable. Because we were spending so much money each month on our cable bill. And I was like, we literally watch PBS and like Disney and Nickelodeon. Like, what the hell? And it's made a world of difference. And I also do not sit there mindlessly for hours in the afternoon watching the Kardashians. I missed a few of the shows, but I just don't do that anymore. Yeah, it's a good one. I watch that because I'm like, this is so crazy. But yeah, I find I'm like, I'm so much more productive and, you know, it's made a big difference. But I agree. I start to look at things differently in terms of what we watch and what's around.
And what you spend your time on.
Yes.
And I'll say this to you because you also, you work in the news business as well. And the biggest rule with like when I was first starting out, I remember a news director told me one time, your most precious commodity in news is time. Because you always have to make the time. It has to be the most information in the smallest amount of time.
Yeah.
And now as a mom, that's how I think. Not to like, you know, industrialize my daughters, but I think, what is my time value?
Yes.
That's how I think. And that's how I approach. Like, what do I need to spend time on? What deserves time? My kids, my family, husband. Mm-hmm. What does not warrant me spending time on? And that's how I sort of compartmentalize.
Yeah. No, you have to. It's prioritizing. Mm-hmm. And in news, we do have to do that too. It's because sometimes we'll get like 20 seconds to write a whole story. And I'm like, you want me to break down the president's new healthcare reform bill in 20 seconds? Okay. And I have to find a way to do that. I sort of live that way too. And this is so nerdy, but like, I will find a way to shorten my trips to from one end of the house to the other. And I'm like, okay,
yes,
if I carry all of these things, I can stop by the playroom, Channing's room, and my office on the way to my bedroom.
Because if you this is another thing in the book, The Fab Mom's Guide. If you mind the minutes, the hours take care of themselves.
Oh, I love that.
If you can save a minute here, 2 minutes here, 30 seconds there,
yeah,
you might end up with a half hour of time
to yourself to
that
do
you
whatever.
Can use.
I love that. No, I literally will do that. I will plot out like, okay, if I go here, I go here. Or like, especially in LA, you map out your route to run errands. Like, okay, I can't go to Burbank first. I got to go over here. But yeah, I love that. And I think everything, knowing you as well as I do and knowing what we've talked about with this book, I think that it's going to be so beneficial for so many women, and I hope everybody buys it.
Thanks.
And reads it, and then
it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, I was
right
gonna
now.
Say they can pre-order it right now, right?
Yeah. Well, from what I've been told, if you order it, they're shipping it now.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's
so you
a
basically
little
buy it now.
You can buy it now.
Oh my god.
And leave a review on Amazon.
Yes. Everybody, buy it. Leave a review. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna put up a link on motherhoodinhollywood.com where you can go and buy Jill's book, but I'll also put up information linking to her website and the CBS segments as well, so you guys can find out more about her and about her life. This is truly, I'm not even kidding when I say she's one of my closest friends in the mommy world, and I love her
mutual.
So much, and I'm so proud of you. I have loved watching this transformation and your book come to life. This is so great.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm going to cry.
Don't
I'm
cry.
So happy.
Don't cry. All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Jill and I are probably going to sit here and talk some smack. have a little girl sesh when I sign off. Have a great week, you guys. Remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.